I did that chopper line, I see your point.
Your girl Billion Dollar Baby,
and it's your girl Mia the Brave on Let's Get Into It.
Yo, listen, we done just wrapped up an amazing holiday time, Christmas and New Year's. How did everything go for you? Did you enjoy everything, the holiday?
I did. It was great. Like I said, in our Christmas seasonings podcast special, it was just really intimate. You know, my mom and one of her friend's daughters. She's really cool, and we've gotten close. She came over, and you know, we had some food. It was pretty chill. And then when New Year's came, It was great. I hung out with a friend that I met last year. Met some great people there, had some great curry chicken. I love me some curry chicken, but apparently she had a friend. She knew how to throw down. It was funny because I told her it reminded me of the curry chicken my mom makes. And you know, if you're on that level, like for me, if you're on the level of mommy, I had to, you know, tell her that. And then we had lasagna. It was a very nice get together. And then I went to a lovely little lounge and we turned up there. So it was great. I enjoyed myself. How about you?
Well, same. I mean, we had an amazing time. My family traveled from Maryland. So my mom and her man, my sister, like the baby, they all came out. And then New Year's, one of my good friends came down. So it was good just having, like, you know, that family traveling down because, you know, everybody, we live in different areas. So it was great to finally come together. And, you know, it's just it was definitely a season to remember. I'll say that. But And I just enjoy the fact of like being off too, like being off of work and just relaxing. That was a good time for me just because I'm always like busy, on the go, running around. So it definitely was like that family and relaxation time.
And I think that's what it should be about. You know, as long as you have your family around, I think those are like the key points just to remember to hold on to with, you know, the holidays. So
It
sounds like it was definitely a good experience. A holiday well spent.
Yes, for sure. Well, I know I want to just jump right into one of the topics that we have to discuss. It's a little different. But I do feel like it touched some key points. So there is an audio to the video that I found, and I'm gonna go ahead and play it.
Awesome.
And I'm really just not into him. He's like 5'4" to start off. I don't know. His personality that day was just weird. Like he was just being sketchy. When it got like dark out, he like cornered me in the kitchen with his little posse and convinced me to do this pill. And I don't know what the pill was. I said no a million times. Eventually I was just like, okay, like whatever. I was getting ready in my room, like packing up all my stuff, getting ready to leave. And he comes in and he pulls me onto the bed and I looked down and his giz out and he's like, get, and I said no.
Doc Lizzy is a professional bottle spiker. Like he spike bottles. This is what he do. Every girl that ever been around a Glizzy gang in their life Just think about it. You drunk Patron before, but think about that Patron you drunk with the Glizzy Gang. Think about the 1942 you drunk at the cookout. Think about the 1942 you had with Glizzy Gang. It's about to be like the Me Too movement. For the last 15 years, Shaq Glizzy been spiking girls. He been spiking girls since I've been around him.
Oh my gosh.
So this is pretty much a trending topic. Shy Glizzy, he faces sexual misconduct allegations from OnlyFans model. And so that was her pretty much saying the scenario of how everything went down. And I mean, it's pretty much like, you know, the topic, why can't women say no when they're put into, you know, uncomfortable or creepy situations?
Right.
This person and a group that he goes with, they pretty much have this reputation of spiking girls' drinks, wow, you know, like luring them or, you know, seducing them or whatever into the intimate setting. And then, you know, things go down. And so it's like the girl's telling, like she's saying, I've said no multiple times, you know, so then you kind of feel pressured. And, you know, look at the surroundings that you may be in. You're around a whole bunch of men. You're probably, you know, outnumbered. And it's just like one of those things where you kind of just go along with it. And that's the sad part for women.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? And maybe men go through this too. I don't know. But, you know, I do find that this is a big thing, you know, for us. I feel like this is more common and it happens more often than we think. Mm-hmm. And it's also not talked about. So I really just wanted to bring this up and, you know, definitely share this topic on the page too, just to get anybody's insight, you know, on if they have made, you know, gone through that or, you know, because I love that people speak up about this stuff. You know,
that's good.
It's forbidden to talk about, like, no, like we got to talk about this shit. So I don't know. Like, what do you think?
I mean, I agree. It's definitely a topic that isn't discussed enough. I mean, honestly, I would like more to be shared about it. I would like to know what are the symptoms of it? Like, how do you know you were drugged and stuff like that? Because I know that sounds really weird, but it's like, I know if I drink and get a little tipsy, you know, like is being tired in effect, you know what I mean? Because there have been times, like, especially like now I'm doing like a part-time bottle girl gig. It's like, you know, someone will hand me a drink and, you know, I've had friends say, you sure? Cause like, if you didn't watch them pour that drink, you're thinking you're in a setting, there's cameras, and it's like the reality of the situation is there was a video apparently that was released online where a guy was showing you how quick and easily someone can slip something in your drink and you don't even see it. You could be in conversation and they may have the pill, I guess, I don't know, under their sleeve, and they just bloop, pop it in.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying? So it's just like, when I hear about topics like this, I wish there just were more awareness. Like, okay, I'm sure there is a video out there that'll tell you, okay, you'll be really drowsy, you'll feel this. But like a lot of those symptoms can just feel like, you know what I mean? Just like regular shit. Like, did I have too much to drink? You know what I mean? Or was I drugged? You know what I mean? So it's just kind of like, I just wish we did talk about it more. And I do think it is something that is a lot more prevalent than probably we're comfortable saying. One, because we may not be able to differentiate the symptoms, and two, I mean, everybody doesn't want to believe things happen to them, you know what I mean? Like, no one wants to think, oh damn, you know, I was Bill Cosby, you know what I mean? Like, nobody wants to think that shit.
Yeah,
so it's really sad. And then you really wouldn't think that celebrities would do it. Like, sometimes I think, I'm like, damn, like, you should be getting ass. Like, I would feel like panties are thrown at you. It's like, why do you feel the need to have to, you know what I mean, to go to those levels?
From my understanding, it's not even the fact that they are popular and get that attention. It's the fact that they've grown this power within themselves. Like, they feel like inferior to, you know,
superior. Like, I can do whatever I want.
Yeah.
And like, you don't check me, boo.
Yeah. Like, it's like, okay, I've reached a status and I probably won't get caught up behind this. So I'm going to do it, you know? And it's like, it's so easy. You got to think too. Think about when you've seen, you know, trials and people in court talking about, oh, well, you know, the lawyers is going at the victim and they're like, well, how did you know that you didn't just drink and were just drunk? And, you know, this is so convenient to slip a Mickey in a drink That way, it's hard to debate. Okay, well, maybe I was drugged.
Right,
how would you know?
Because
it's alcohol. You probably were just drunk. Are you sure you didn't consent? Maybe you were just too drunk to remember. Things like that is so, sometimes, honestly, sometimes I feel like just fuck the drinking at that point, because you kind of get caught up, in this chance. It's a gamble, especially when you're out in public and you don't know who's safe, So that's one of those things where it's not, any blaming or anything like that, but, just understanding the concept of why people would do it anyways, because where did this come from? But I think that idea that, okay, this actually could, we can get away with it. And sadly, people have. So it's just, I honestly do feel like that, and then tying into the fact that now you're in this compromised situation because you have this man and he's like, he got his stuff out, like telling you what to do. Like, that's hard too, because now you're drugged, you're under the influence, you don't even know what's going on. Now you're in this uncomfortable situation, your mind's racing, you can't even have a good space to just think and then make a move. It's just too much going on at the same time.
Might just want to lay there, and
you just
taking advantage of that, right?
Exactly. And that's tough, but I do feel like even without the drug experience, even just being in a space where you feel like you still can't say no, that's also a thing. So it's just
there's a lot of women that will just agree to sex because they feel pressured. And that's another sad thing people don't speak about, because men get so focused on the what you said yes. But it's like, but wait now, why did she say yes? Did you pull it out and just, basically shove it in her face, like, here? You know what I mean? Like, what is going on for that person to just feel like that she has to be urged into saying yes? Did you do anything that could have facilitated that response? You know what I mean? I feel like as a guy, I'm not a guy, but I would think that I don't understand where guys get to a point where they're willing to do whatever and sink that low. To get what they want. It's like, gosh, I would feel like you would want to have somebody that is truly consenting, not something later where you're like, damn, I had to really trick that one.
That's sick. That's sick.
Like, you're that pressed to get it.
Yeah.
Like, someone will give it to you. It may not be who you want, but you really had to trick that woman into sleeping with you. And for you, that was okay, because you got what you wanted. And that is just like, really? Why would you want something like that?
It's so sick. And then it shows how twisted somebody can be. So it's one of them things. I don't know. I really couldn't understand it fully, try to make sense of it, but it's baffling. Now, I will say, with this, it was a post here that pretty much, has some comments under it. And somebody said, nobody can make you do anything you don't want to do, point blank. The problem is that she is either not making enough money or she regrets her decision because I don't know if this person knows how to type, but she didn't know what she wanted from the exchange. So at the end of the day, take some accountability and stop doing things you were so-called coerced into doing. Now, listen,
that's I hate when they do that.
Yes, like, come on. Now, you're pretty much trying to flip the script on her when you just want to run away from
you're victim shaming right now.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
And it's disgusting, because it'd be your own people. It'd be women doing that to women.
Yeah. That was a woman. So,
and it's really disgusting, and that's probably what makes it hard for them to speak up too. Because people always go to the, she wasn't saying that. Two things I hate that people say. Well, it happened 10, 20 years ago. Why is she just saying something now? Or, she must not have gotten something out of the agreement. She wanted. Like, come on. Why does it have to be that? Why can't you just believe that men in positions of power take advantage of that position? Because some people, when they get a little bit of money and a little bit of power, they don't act like themselves.
Yeah.
You run into somebody that you don't even recognize anymore. So it's like, it's insensitive, especially for women. I'm not saying that there aren't women that lie, and I'm not saying that we should just blindly believe women, but I mean, come on, when somebody's sitting here saying that they're going through something, I mean, just be a little bit sensitive to it. I mean, how would you feel if you went through something, and I'm sure that has happened, and no one believed you? It's not a good feeling.
Yeah. Man, oh man. Like, the world is just different now, honestly. Or maybe, I don't know, maybe it's always been.
I think so. I don't know. I think I agree with you on that front, because I just feel like a lot of people, they're just cold. Like, I'm not saying there weren't cold people before, but I don't know if it's the easy access to information. I don't know if it's the fact that we can hide behind our phones, and people feel more prone to say ignorant shit, or because they're miserable, they want to say evil stuff to others. I'm not sure, but it's just a lot of negativity and just dark-hearted people that's just circulating. And I'd like to know where the heck that's coming from, actually.
Oh man, I just feel like we won't ever know.
Right, yeah.
Yeah. But let's get to another topic that is, I mean, this is going to affect us in the future. The world's first robot lawyer will help a defendant fight a traffic ticket case in court next month. So this is becoming a thing where robots are really taking over to the point where they can help you in court. I don't know how to feel about this. Like, a robot lawyer?
Jeez.
What if they glitch? Like, what if they, you know? Like, what if they just, like, spaz out and start doing some weird stuff?
I have so many questions, but apparently I was reading this, too. It says it'll run on a smartphone and listen to court arguments in real time before telling the defendant what to say via headphones. So it's almost like the defendant will be representing themselves in a weird sense. I mean, with, you know, of course, with the counsel of the robot, but they'll, I took it as that robot was really going to be present in the courtroom. I mean,
Like with him.
I mean, it's still the same thing, I guess, but.
But I mean,
but going back to what you said, what if it does glitch? I mean, that to me makes me feel like it would be more prone to doing that. What if it didn't hear something correctly?
Exactly. Yeah.
You know,
but I mean, maybe they have it, you never know, like with the technology, I'm sure it's stuff that I don't even know about. Like, I'm just finding out this.
Right.
You know? So I'm sure they have a lot of different robotic things where it is being updated and worked on and just every day. Like, they're trying to find a new thing to enhance these products. So it may be something in the beginning, but maybe down the line, it could start to, you know, perfect as they find whatever glitches may come about. Right, so, but I mean, it's just so interesting. Like, I don't know, though. Like, I don't know if I would be so comfortable with that yet. I mean, because it would be like a real person, right? Like, standing up next to you or like, but just like a robot form. So that's still kind of creepy to have. Like,
yeah, even if it gets to that point, that would be weird.
Yeah,
I think I'd be more distracted about the robot. Like, wow, look at that!
Right, exactly.
Stand so tall.
Yeah, I don't know. Like, it's too advanced for me. I'm too old school. Yeah, like, it's enough with the smartphones. Even that's too much. I'm like, sometimes I even think, like, I want to get a flip phone because this is just too much. I have to worry about getting updates and charging it for, you know, however long. Like, flip phones, they last. Like, you probably wouldn't even have to charge.
Look, and you then know, you're not even doing that much with it. Because, you know what I mean?
Right.
Like, just, like, call. So it's not,
exactly. So it's not running the battery up. Like, honestly, I mean, I don't know, it's just too advanced for me, a lot of this stuff. And like I said, what if it's stuff that we don't know about? So, like, I'm just now finding out about, well, not just now, but more recently, like, the whole smart home thing. Like, it's a lot of shit you can do in your house to make it. Yeah, like, it's certain things that are already, you know, like the Alexa and, you know, the little Ring doorbells and stuff like that. That's, you know, I'm good with that. But this is like, I'm thinking, okay, Alexa, is it already enough? No, it's more. Like, you can literally make your whole house a smart house.
Turn the lights on. I mean, it gets wild.
Yeah. Like, closing doors, cutting on and turning off your air and, you know, the washer, the dryer, the dishwasher, starting the stove. Like
that Disney movie, The Smart House. Yeah, that's
yes.
Yeah.
A lot. It's a lot. Like, you can literally just sit in, just sit anywhere and just tell your house to do it. It does it. Like, I'm waiting. I'm really waiting for the whole futuristic Jetsons thing. Like, with the, you know, you could just tell it, like, oh, make me a cheeseburger. And it makes it. Like, I'm actually waiting for that. Me too. I like that. But it is a little...
It'll be that robotic butler.
But it's different when you can't see it. Right. I'm just saying, like, that whole, like, standing robot thing, that's going to be creepy. And it's going to be hard to really adjust to. Mm-hmm. I even feel like it's going to get as crazy as the whole iRobot movie, where the motherfuckers was just, like, armied up. Like, you know?
But that makes sense. They're definitely going to come to that point, because that's what makes me nervous about that. You're making these machines have almost, well, yeah, like, artificial intelligence, creating the sense of intelligence. And eventually they'll get to a point where it's like, human, we don't need you.
Right. Like, we bucking back.
Right. Like, and then it's going to be us versus them. And this shit, we ain't going with that. But, like, also what I'm afraid of is the hacking. Because you see now, like, there's so many cyber threats and all that stuff. And, like, that's why I was kind of nervous about, like, having the cameras at home. Because if you think about it, if the right person hacks your cameras at home, shoot, they're going to know when you're in and out of town. They're watching you at this point.
How's
that feel knowing somebody is watching you sleep? You know what I mean? Like,
man,
I think that's where things are getting a little creepy.
Yeah, which is why I wouldn't have the cameras all up in the rooms and stuff like that. You know, I mean, I'm even like, I don't know, sketchy about, you know, I feel like if you have multiple entrances that you can afford to have, like, one camera that shows in and out, because maybe you go into the garage or, you know, the back door or something like that. So that, you know, but it's just a camera here, camera here, camera here. Oh, this is that. Yeah. Like, you're bound to, you know, if you have money and you have something worth somebody hacking your shit for, you're bound for that. Like, so it is. It's one of those things where, I don't know, but time will tell.
I love technology, but it does make me uncomfortable. Like, you know what I mean? Because I know there's even stuff out there that we don't even see yet.
Exactly.
Know, so it just, it
like the car that drives itself.
I wouldn't trust it. I got trust issues. I'm not doing it. I wouldn't. Fall asleep. No, I'm not.
Yeah.
I will not. No.
That's why, like, a lot of people are like, Tesla, Tesla. You know, Teslas are cute. They are. And I like the whole, like, the whole thing looks like a computer. It's like a spaceship.
Yeah, it looks
really
It looks really cool.
Yeah, but on the other hand, I don't know. It's just too smart for me. Like, I need to have a little bit of control of this car, you know?
Right.
With that particular car, I feel like it dummies down your control, and that has the more control, you know? So, it's just like, it gives you enough to feel like, okay, I'm doing something here. I'm driving. But if you swerve off, then the car is going to be like, wait a minute, and swerve you back. So, which, you know, a lot of cars can do that already, but I think the Tesla is probably over that. It's up there.
Right, because can it, like, come pick you up and shit like that? Like, what the? Like, I don't know if that's, like, what?
Imagine you ordering an Uber.
Like, and you get out here looking for the driver.
Ain't nobody in there.
Nobody.
You open the door.
Hello, I'm not about to get in this.
No. Oh my god.
No way. But see that, I think that's what is gonna be very, very weird. Oh, I'm sorry. I just got distracted. I saw this older couple outside. They're kissing. He stopped her just to give her a peck. But anyway, sorry. But I think that's what's kind of scary about this whole. I think we're going to eventually become dependent on computers, these machines and everything. And that's going to make us less capable of doing things. Cause we're going to be like, yeah, well, what the heck? You know, I can just, soon it'll be a point where I don't even need to learn anything. I can just get a chip and download all this information in my head. And I'm good. And it's like, damn, like, you don't even work for anything anymore. So I feel like that sense of work ethic and everything is just going to disappear. And, like, a lot of these qualities that make us make a human what a human is. Unfortunately, I think if things continue to progress this way, hell, we might forget what it means to even be a human. And I think that's what is contributing to, you know, why we might have more of an onslaught of, you know, these, I'm not saying there weren't killings before, but I mean, golly, these mass shootings at schools are at an all-time high. You know what I mean? I think that social media and these video games. I think all these things are contributing to people's lack of compassion and lack of empathy.
Yeah, but it's definitely making people like insensitive. It's just like, it's one of those things where I feel like we're already overly stimulated by just, you know, regular things, sense of touch, you know, sound, whatever. But on the other hand, with the electronics and the way that we use them on a day to day, I mean, it literally is like a, we need our computers type of thing. We need our phones. We need certain things now. They've become necessities in our lifestyle. So that already is, it's a lot added on to the regular overly, you know, overstimulated activities that we go through. So I don't know, like, even down to the fact that when you hold, I don't know if you look at your hand, right? Most people will like hold their phones in their hands and they will put it right there on the groove of the pinky finger and they'll hold it right there. And I've seen a study where it showed the bone indentation. There's an indentation on your finger from sitting the phone there that much. Isn't that crazy?
It is. It really is.
Like, we, and if you think about it, the people that are before us, they probably didn't really have this stuff. Our great-grandparents, grandparents, older aunties, uncles, look at their hand and look at their pinky. It's probably straight up, just like the other fingers. Huh. So we are the generation that have that. And I don't know. I mean, are you looking at your finger? The fact that when you hold your phone, it drops and puts right into that groove of your pinky.
What is happening? So
you're holding the other side with your thumb and the pinky is hold. That's the security right there. And it sits there every time. And you're just like,
My gosh.
Time you're restructuring the whole bone in your pinky.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. Huh. That is crazy. That's what I'm saying. This stuff is scary to think of how advanced, like a generation before us does not have this defect, but we have it. And so, you know, like I said, I might switch to a flip phone because I just think that, I don't know, it's just getting a little out of hand. And maybe I'll keep myself, you know, my smartphone, but I don't know, for the everyday use. Because it's just getting to the point where it's changing things for us. I don't know. But so there's another topic really juicy that I want to dive into. This might take up the rest of our show, but I'm sure that y'all would like this. So Tony? No, this lady is. I just happened to see it in my feed. And she posted, marry someone you're physically attracted to because they will annoy you at some point. And then they annoy you. And when they annoy you, at least you will be looking at someone who is fine. Someone who is not fine to you will just make you angrier. That was a quote from her mother. Now, she followed up with, when your dad pisses me off, I just look at him and think, this man is good looking. Lastly, marry someone you're physically attracted to doesn't mean that you have to look like a model to someone else. So no, it's not about your, you know, feeding into societal standards or however some people want to spin it. It's just about what you like and what you think is attractive. So, you know me.
Yeah, I can relate to
that. You know me. I go straight to the comments. I want to know what y'all think. Listen, I'm trying to get some opinions.
Yes.
I don't even know how I should think. I want to see what everybody else is on.
Right. Put
myself together.
I'm on the page too.
And one of the top comments was, imagine being mad at somebody ugly. You can't do nothing about it because they yours.
That someone said, not attractive people do make you madder though. That's so end.
I think she's right, but again, that was a great emphasis to put out there. So no, it doesn't mean feeding into societal standards. Or however, people, because you know,
right?
I'm sure you know, going through the comments, there's probably somebody, oh my gosh, y'all did wrong. Da, 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 da. Listen, reality is you need to look at your person and say, damn, they're fine. You know, not right. like, oh, well, this person has a keen nose and
right. or their personality is good enough. Or
yeah, just you like them for you, like, or for them, you know, for you. You know, that's right. your person that you feel is attractive to you. And that's right. all that matters. So, yeah, you shouldn't be with somebody just for other things. And, you know, you don't have an attractive, something that, you know, attracts you to them. That's key in a relationship. And a lot of people confuse that with having to look like a particular thing to be attractive. Having right. to have certain features that make you attractive. And that's not the case. It's just, no, you just still need to have some type of, you know, because everybody got their type. So
right.
realistically, you could look like anything and somebody even be like, damn, he's fine. You know what I'm saying? So, I mean, yes, you should.
But I think what it is, though, is because, like, some people, like, I've done it. You might date them because it's like, okay, they seem nice. You know what I mean? Like, and yeah. it kind of sounds effed up, but you're like, maybe I'll grow into it. Or like, you like, there's something about their personality yeah. that's so appealing that you're like, this will do. You yeah. know what I mean? But then when you're mad, it is true. Like someone just said here, you don't even look that good to be acting how you're acting. See. I mean, that's so effed up, but it just gets into a situation where it's like, I guess if you're attracted and at least if that chemistry's there, mm-hmm. You're going to go through BS in every relationship you're in anyway. But right. I guess if there at least something you're attracted to, then you yeah. can at least feel like, all right, well, it's worth it. F it. You know what I mean? Like, I mean, like it on my damn nerves, but at least you're sexy. Like, you know, the makeup yeah. is about to be crazy. So it's fine.
Yeah. Right.
You know? So it's like, it's okay. It's all good.
Because, I mean, how fucked up is it that if you are like, every other day, like, yeah, babe, you look good. Yeah, you look good. Yeah, sexy, fine ass. And then when you met, you had this big old argument. Like, with your ugly ass. Like, I don't even know why I even got with you because I don't even like damn. So that was a real switch. So, like, how do you really feel? Because it sounds right. like this is the truth. Like, right. you know what I'm saying? That's fucked up. Like,
but he's gonna feel some type of way because he knows you think he's ugly.
And that's when people fuck up because it's like, just get what you like, you know, get what you like.
Don't settle, you know what I mean? Yeah. Settle, because then some people, they don't want to get someone super attractive because they might be afraid about that, you know, what comes with that, you know. But I think that's insecurity too,
right? Like, yeah, because it's like, bruh, like, it's, you like, know, we look good, like,
I mean, at the end of the day, someone ugly will cheat on you, so it's like, shit,
yeah.
I'd rather be, I'm not saying I wouldn't be cheated on, but damn, you know what I mean? Kid. I'll really be looking at the ugly dude like, wow. So after I gave you a chance, okay.
Right.
Okay, really? Now you think you're cute. All right, don't worry about it. That's fine.
Yo, people are messed up these days. But I guess that's, you know, I guess that's how it is. You know, we're humans and we do little fucked up shit, but
we all have our weird reasons as to why.
Right. But I do think that it matters a lot. Like, it matters. And then you got to think, like, you don't want to be in a space where you secretly dislike a person, but you put up with them. Yeah. That's messed up. It's like, because then it seeps out little by little. It just comes out. You know, you do little shit. You know, you get easily annoyed by the person.
Yeah.
Like, that's fucked up. Because then it makes the person think like, well, damn, what am I doing wrong? And it's not really them. It's you. And you're just taking it out on them because you want to stick around for whatever reason. But not being honest with yourself and saying, like, I just don't like you. Like, and that's okay. So, I don't know.
You gotta feel okay with saying that, you know, because I think that at the end of the day, your partner knows that, you know what I mean, like, how you act with them, like, if you're acting like you desire them, and like, they know if you desire them, and if they feel like there's something that's amiss, they're gonna be like, all right, you must not be feeling me like that. You know what I mean? So why rob that person of that feeling? Yeah. How great it feels to be desired.
Exactly.
Because you don't want it to be one-sided. Yeah, he's making you feel desired. I mean, because you're a total babe.
Yeah.
But you're sitting here like, you know,
closing your eyes real tight when you go to kiss him because you're like, like, yeah, so he's like, why are you doing that to yourself? You know what I mean? And these are things they know, like they know.
Yeah.
So you might as well just have somebody that you're all over and you're just disgustingly attracted to. And like you said, it doesn't have to be Idris Elba. I mean, that guy would be perfect for me. But it just has to be what is sexy in your standards.
But you know, then you have some people that look at the societal standards and be like, no, I don't like that. And so where we might think Idris Elba is just like the finest man.
Someone might be like, he's ugly. Yeah.
Exactly. So it really, like, it goes to show that people have their own interests and their preferences, and that's great. That's how it should be.
Exactly.
So I wanted to bring this up because it kind of ties into it. So I had a family friend, they told me one day, and this was when I was like a few years ago, like she told me when I was still single and, you know, dating, find a man and get you a man that you love more. You know what I'm saying? It's not even just the liking part, because you could like them. Well, I don't know. I know that you can not like, but still love the person.
That is true. Yeah.
Yeah. But I guess on both ends, like, that has to be more than the other person. Now, it's not saying that the person has to be, like, not interested in you like them. No, it's like y'all both have that love and care for each other, but yours as a woman is higher.
Really?
And yeah. So I thought about it, and I always, she's a lot older, kind of like maybe 20 years older. So, you know, for me, I took it as wisdom advice, and I thought about it, and it runs through my mind, you know, when she says that, because I just think about, like, all right, so when you are with a person, should that level be higher from you as a woman? And I kind of, like, in the beginning when she said it, I felt like, okay, that's law. Now I feel like it should be equal, but I get where she was coming from, because it's like in the beginning, when you're securing the person, you think about it like, okay, both people have the equal attraction or equal liking to the person. They both probably even love each other the same. So that's cool. But it should always ante up for a woman in the very beginning, just because you want to make sure that that man is like falling for you, like head over heels. I want to make sure that I said this right too. So the guy should love the woman more, actually. That's what it was. The guy should love
the woman more. Okay, yeah, I've heard that before. Yeah, I've heard
that. Yes, yes. I'm like, wait a minute now. Yes. So the guy should love the woman more. That's what it was. And what it is basically the woman should ante up on, you know, making him fight and just keep, you know, with whatever it means to show and really like give that love, because when the woman shows more, it seems like, okay, she's trying. Versus a man, they already have that natural instinct to go for what they want. So they always kind of be in the, I'm working to keep her. That has to be rolling consistently. And I think that even down the line, as you get into, like, you know, your marriage or long-term relationship or whatever, and it's, you know, continuous, I do feel like that still should stay high for that man to do certain things and to show that love for the woman. But it comes down a little bit, and it's not so demanding as time progresses, because then they kind of stood their ground. They kind of like, okay, I marked my place here with you as a woman. So now I don't know if other people feel the same way, or if they have, you know, went through like a dating, get into the relationship, then you get serious, then married type of flow. So then, and if they've seen that and seen how that works personally, but I've seen how that could work, and it makes sense, you know, thinking about it now, because it, like, the man should have a little bit more interest in showing, and it becomes where women already naturally want to feel like wanted, and men too, but men, they have their own natural, like kind of like lions, like where they just go for what they want, you know, that's that instinct. So the woman is the chase, you know, so and it has to kind of stay that way in the beginning until, you know, like I secured this and the feeling is mutual. It ain't going nowhere, you know, type of thing where it's never going to change. In the beginning, it's just like, so, you know, so much that you really have to work and stamp there. So yeah, I just want to share that because I feel like that also played a little bit of tie-in to the topic, just a little bit, because, you know, with women, they want to feel like, okay, I actually have this in the bag. And then also, you know, if they're saying, I want to make sure that I'm attracted to you,
right?
You know, it's all, it's also kind of like the opposite thing for the man, you know, like, I want to make sure I'm doing the work to get you. And so, yeah,
that was like, do you stand, till this day, do you still stand with it should be equal now?
Now, I feel like as long as it was like that way, that consistency in the beginning, then it equaled out more where the relationship is seasoned or progressed, you're in which, you know, you have the person, then I feel that way about the situation. So not initially that it should be equal. I feel like it should be the chase in the beginning. And then as the, you know, relationship, marriage is seasoned, then yes, it could kind of come to an equal. But it's weird because then, you know, two, it doesn't matter how many years you have, you know, been in a relationship or marriage, you still want to have that spice, that, you know, that spunk, and it feel like the person is not going nowhere and that they really do still like look at you like, nah, like I'm gonna make sure like she sees, you know, because it's like different things that you do in the beginning of the relationship where, you know, the man, you know, courts you a certain way, they hold doors and, you know, just be a gentleman about things and just really show that, I don't even know how to explain it, like just that those acts of service that women love to see. So it is certain things that they probably will still implement throughout the relationship, but it's not like hardcore. And so it can be a, like a more equal leveled out thing as the relationship progressed. So yeah.
That's definitely a good assessment. I mean, I agree. I think it should be a chase in the beginning. And then just kind of levels out later.
Yeah.
I mean, because it's not going to be rewarding for the man if he feels like he has to keep proving his love. It's not
right.
It's not a good place. Like I've been there. It's not a good place when you feel like you have to keep proving your love to somebody. There comes a point where you're just like, and I'm not saying that means stop dating. That doesn't mean stop caring. That doesn't mean stop trying, but it just means that it should be understood that you guys are now at this point where it's mutual and you guys are giving, you know what I mean? Like he's giving and you recognize that. It's like, no one wants to do anything when they don't feel rewarded. And that's why I don't think it's fair to continuously put people through hurdles among hurdles. If you decide at that point that that person is proven, or even if you need to make that outline of what you need, you know, if you have trust issues, if you need this and you guys are really going to build on that, but I don't think you should be like, it shouldn't be like a perpetual, like,
of,
let me prove, let me chase. It's just exhausting. Cause then it's just going to be like, oh, why bother? I don't want to do this.
Just like a, you know, once as everything is like more seasoned, and I always use that word because I feel like relationships are like raw food, like raw chicken, you know, it's just like, you got to start off with something. You got to season it, put some, you know, some salt, pepper, maybe some more in season salt, maybe some Lawry's, like whatever you want to spice it up. And it gets that way to the point where now when it's ready to serve, that shit is good. It's juicy. It tastes well, you know, like it was work put into it. So that's what I look at it like, yes, like once it gets to that point in the relationship, now things can be leveled out. Now you know what to expect from both parties. So yeah, definitely feel strong about that. And now one more thing that I wanted to touch on, since we do have like a little time. So there was a, it looks like it was a show not long ago with Vivica.
Vivica. You're touching all the ones I want you to touch. I love it.
What's her name?
Vivica Fox, right?
Mm. Yes. And oh my gosh. So it's a mom and her son. And it's like a lot going on here. So you got a panel of women. Majority of them are different races, not Black. I think Vivica might be the only Black one on here. And they have the son. I guess he's trying to open up about his depression. Well, he is opening up. Oh. So it says, man tries to tell his mom about his depression. This is what happens often when men try to open up. And so you have the mom. She's just pretty much, I guess she even asked for them to come on the show due to her being a single mom, him growing and kind of acting a little different from what she's used to. And so then it also had a caption behind it. This pissed me off so much. I may express more later on why, but this is nasty. So I'm going to go ahead and play the clip just so you guys can hear for everything. It's a little lengthy too. So let's really listen. Turn this up.
Lavinia, for her son, Ty, to get his life together. He has no job and no goals. Lavinia, what was Ty like as a child?
I'm a single parent. I have to work. This kid would pick up his two little sisters, make sure that they eat, make sure that their homework was done. If I had to stay late, he'd make sure they took a bath and put them to sleep. And then he changed.
Ty, you're getting really, really emotional right now. So am I. Because
yeah, I did change. I'm still that kid.
I haven't seen him in 10 years.
I'm still that kid. I'm tired. I'm depressed. I'm tired.
You know, okay.
I'm just tired. I'm hurt. I've been through stuff in my life.
Because that's personal.
No, it don't even matter about none of that.
It does matter.
No, it does. But I'm tired. Like I said, I'm depressed. I have personal things going on. Sometimes that
tell us what those personal things
that
are.
That can stop people. Me being depressed.
What are those personal things you're going through? Like, stop yelling about them and tell us about it.
All right, like my personal stuff. Like I never really had friends, and then when I got around friends, I basically always did exactly. I always had to like. It's like I feel like yeah, you gave me everything, but you kind of gave me too much. But because you gave me too much, my friends were jealous of me. I always had fake friends around me. That's what I'm saying. It's cool that you did that, but you also gotta understand what that brings, what that attracts, Mark. You gotta feel me on that.
You got some twisted logic going on here.
I'm just saying, it's mental things that can mess with.
Okay,
that. Things that bothers me in
you're telling us
world.
That you're depressed.
I don't have motivation. How can I have motivation? Yes, how can I have my motivation when everything's handed to me?
Right, so you're telling us that you're depressed?
Mm. Yeah, I'm depressed. I'm always depressed. I'm in a dark spot. I know I'm in a dark spot, and I've been there for a long time.
But, Ty, that's still no reason that if you feel that in your dark place, to take that out on your mother.
That's my best friend, yo. Exactly.
Do you
listen?
Okay, hold up. So has he had a problem with alcohol?
He has a problem with alcohol. He's an alcoholic.
Mm. Ty, when did you start drinking? How old are you?
Probably 13.
13. Okay.
Probably 13.
Very early.
She be drinking with me. She put me on.
I put you on at 13.
She put me on. Yeah.
You're a liar.
Vinnie, how much is he drinking?
He drinks five to six bottles, and the bottles is like this, like the 40 ounces.
Oh, he's chugging some 40 ounces?
Yeah, we did that
years ago. I was like 17, 19.
That's a lie. Five and six, I promise you, Vivica. 5 to 6.
I would throw up now.
Day.
I would throw up. If I tried that now, I would throw up now.
No.
If I tried that now,
that's binge drink.
Let me tell you something. Y'all build it to a half. He's only been here a day and a half.
Yeah. Right.
So tell us, you stayed at a hotel that the show put you up in, and you ran up almost a $200 bar bill.
Wow. Here, let's talk about it. One bottle of whiskey, $60. One bottle of premium tequila, $71.18. One bottle of regular tequila, $17.52. We got some beer, a couple soft drinks, and an orange juice.
I have a question for you.
Yes, ma'am.
You did this yesterday.
Yes, ma'am.
Why would you think that's okay?
I didn't. I wasn't thinking.
You just did it.
I wasn't thinking. I saw it. No, I had friends with me.
On our tab, you know, Vivica, I want to say, I don't feel anything. This is all something that, as an alcoholic, I'm very familiar with. It's the woe was me story. The, oh, I'm so sorry. Well, feel sorry for me because I was deprived of this, that, and the other thing. And I was raised really well, just like this kid was. This is all, I don't feel any emotion toward him right now. Why? Because it's all a game. It's all his MO.
For him to get his way?
His MO. His manipulation of his, I would cry. I'm sorry, Mom. I'm never going to drink again. I'm never going to drive drunk.
Yeah, he's desperate for a son.
That's... Listen. Okay, I'm just gonna read the other caption here where it says this pissed me entirely the F off. Imagine you're battling depression with other matters and trying desperately to express what it is that's really hurting you.
They just
and
you're
constantly
you.
Being cut off. Yes.
All they did was attack him. They weren't even trying to understand. Sorry to interrupt. It just really perturbed me because when you're depressed, you're in a you don't understand how fragile that young man's mindset is. Sometimes you can get so low, you're broken. Okay. Like every day, you're just hanging on. You know what I'm saying? So for them to toy with that, it's extremely insensitive and it's wrong. Like, I get it. I know I've known alcoholics, you know, like I know. And I know there probably is manipulation there sometimes, but you do also have to listen. I do think that there's always something that comes from something. A lot of times if you sit down with an alcoholic and you ask, why? How did we get here?
Yeah.
They'll tell you things that bother them. And you can't, how dare you? How dare her? What she just did was project. She said, oh, I used to do this. First of all, you sound, is she white? Because it's giving very much, you don't understand.
Yeah.
I'm going to start there. You don't understand how it is to be a black man in America. And I'm sorry to pull that card, but I'm going to do it. Like, you can't sit here. How dare you, in your white woman privilege, relate yourself to this black man in America? Okay. He probably didn't even feel comfortable saying everything that he's endured. And and I can relate to what he's saying. Being someone that has been a little bit more privileged, or like I lived in a decent neighborhood. So I got a certain treatment from my own people. You know, they didn't want to be my friends. They didn't want to be around me. They assumed I had everything given to me. So they automatically judged me. And that comes with a lot. When you feel like you're a lone wolf and you have to be out there and face it by yourself. I know some people are like, oh, well, oh, you have to go through that. There's so many other problems in the world. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
You cannot minimize what that man, that young man's experience, and you never know what else could have happened to him. He could have went through sexual abuse and may not have wanted to air his damn business out there on TV.
On TV, yeah. And so I was wrong with the panel. It was kind of mixed, actually. So it was like one or two. It was a black woman. Well, it was two. So including Vivica, and then you have a Hispanic, an Asian, and white. So all of them, I don't know. That was so weird for them to all be so like on attack mode with him. But on the other hand, they still wouldn't understand what it's like to be a black man. Now, the black women, Vivica and then the other one, I don't know. They kind of rubbed me the wrong way because I'm like, well, how did y'all not like peep? Like, obviously, this man is kind of, he's just really tapped into understanding what it is that he's going through. But on the other hand, he did express that, yes, he appreciated the fact that she did what she did and was giving him everything that he needed, and that it looked very well. He was wellly dressed, like, I mean, hair done, making sure that he looks good so it doesn't look like they're missing anything. But on the other hand, that attracted jealousy, envy, different things that
Never know what he could have experienced through that envy.
It's like you're his mother. Yeah, so you're providing. You're probably like, damn, I'm going through a lot. I'm struggling as a single mom to make sure y'all got what y'all need. But on the hand, you don't know. You don't take a walk in this man's shoes to see what he goes through every day.
Exactly.
So that he leaves from home, goes to school, and has to face stuff that you
don't know if he was getting beat up. You don't know if he was getting bullied. You don't know what he was going through. But what she's doing, it sounds like she's on attack mode because she probably wasn't the best mother herself, to tell you the truth. And that's what it sounds like. And I believe him when he said she probably was drinking with him. Because unfortunately, in our community, I've heard a lot of stories that mimic this. Their first drink was with their parents for some reason. I've heard a lot of males tell me this story, whether it was their dad that drank with them or their mother.
And well, one hand that I would say, I'll say that like on the parent side, you figure the way that the world is going, they're going to have the opportunity regardless. But you want to be the first. If I'm going to, if you're going to be introduced to this, I'm going to be, you're going to be in my house. You're going to be where I can see you. So you're not getting sick and being around people that you can't trust. So on one hand, I do see where, okay, you know, because my mom has had some, you know, little, the Mike card lemonade and this, that, and the third. And, you know, she was drinking one and I was a teenager and shit, I'm probably going to be exposed to it anyway. She's like, you know, you want one, you know, or me saying, oh, what's that? Oh, what it tastes like. And then her letting me try it. You know what I'm saying? One of those things where it's just, but not to the point where you got turned up bottles, party. Like, no, that's where you lost sight of being a parent. You know,
right
now, if you know that, you know, this is not a consistent thing.
And he probably saw her drink like that. That's another thing that she's probably not going to be honest about. Yeah. But she may have had a drinking problem at one point of her life.
Yeah. And so like with him, he has the issue of drinking and coping with the other issues that he may face throughout, you know, his life, day-to-day life. And then she, on the other hand, doesn't even acknowledge that he's coping with his struggles through alcohol. So now she's like, oh, well, outing him, talking about, yeah, well, he ran up a $200 bill. What type of mom is you? Like, hey, bro, like,
I'm already judging you as a mom now. Cause like, who does
exactly? Cause it's like, okay, so you know your son did that, but you don't air them out like that. Like, and then the lady that was the one reading it, she was, she was like, tequila, what, a whole bottle of premium tequila, $71.
Damn.
And it's just like, why are you airing it out?
Yeah,
golly. It should be obvious that there's an issue. If the man was drinking since 13 and the mom introduced this to him, that's not his fault. She encouraged and influenced him. Yeah.
So now you created an issue. Now that young man has developed this whole thinking of, my mom's not even here to protect me. She'll air me out. She'll humiliate me. So I didn't want to talk to her. And I think that's why, unfortunately, men feel like they can't talk, because you have a-hole women like her and the rest of that panel that aren't supportive. When somebody is coming to you and gives you a sense of vulnerability, that's why when people do that, I feel honored when people do. And I treat that with the utmost delicacy.
Yeah.
Because I don't know if that conversation is saving them from offing themselves. I don't know if I was just that one person they felt comfortable to open up to. So I handle it with care. But to sit here and just go ripping on them, and that is so overwhelming. A full panel of individuals just ripping you apart, telling you where you effed up at, and basically telling you that your experiences aren't valid enough to feel depression. Are you serious? So you're telling me how you're denying my feelings now. So you're saying I shouldn't feel this way based off of your interpretation, yet you don't even know everything that transpired in my life. So yeah. So now you taught me, I don't even feel like I need to open up to women, because here we have 9 different types of women.
God, dang.
That are all giving me the same treatment.
Yo, and that, wow. So then it brings a light too. And not saying that I never knew this before, but it just shines a light again on the issues that Black men will face. Because how, looking at the panel, it's everybody. So like at this point now, you have no reason to even wonder why a man could be so just closed off, not wanting to be emotional, not wanting to be vulnerable, not wanting to open up, just completely like cold, and it is what it is. You get what you get. Hard, tough. You can't be questioning these things when you have scenarios like this. That's the situation. And think about how often it happens to people we don't know, and just continues. That's just destroying us. And That's why I say, like, yeah, okay, it was different, you know, women, but the black ones, y'all ought to be ashamed. Like, y'all really should, because it's one thing, I understand that you may not be in the know about a lot of different things and being aware of how, you know, things can come out as signs or real life, like, this is depression. You might not be completely aware of those things, but at least stop and say, I'm going to give you a little bit of extra, you know, like, let me go ahead and really listen, because these are your people. You know what I'm saying? Like,
right.
We should be sticking together just like how the other ones stick together.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying? I feel like if, no, I'm not saying that you should be like, okay, well, you know, it's obvious things that are wrong here and just make excuses. No, that's not what I'm saying. But at the end of the day, find the root behind it. Y'all sitting here on a panel talking about this man or whatever he do and putting, you know, pointing fingers at him, blaming him.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like, y'all ain't even trying to find the issue and then the resolution. It's just right, like
you're not trying to understand him.
Yeah, like, oh, looking at him all down and stuff, like, come on. Like, so what was the goal of this, the show? Like, what was the point of this? Like, I wish I seen the whole episode, because I just want to understand. Crap. Yeah, like, what happened at the end? Like, what was the result?
Because I just really wanted to shame him. They wanted to just say, shame on you. They just wanted to shame ridiculous. Him, and that's messed up.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. And I think she came out, because this was, again, the video is, like, old, like a few years old, like at least 2-3 maybe even 4 years old, but it just surfacing. Yeah, and so people had a lot to say about it. I mean, this was trending, and she came out, clapped back, and said some stuff like, oh, this was old, and you know, you don't even understand the whole situation, this is just a clip. So yes, I need to find this episode now, and when I do find it, we're going to do better with posting, by the way. I know we
probably- Yes, yes. I have been a lazy McGruff. Yeah, I mean, the idea is to post polls and questions and, I mean,
yeah,
tidbits of our stuff. But, you know, since it is a little earlier, you know, I'll try to put some time and we'll have that whole conjointed effort to do that. But
like, I need to know, like, what do people feel about this? Because, it, you know, like, it's just, I don't know. Like, I feel like, even looking at the comments, like, this, well, this was an actress, actually, but this is, like, one of the pinned comments. It says, first off, stop making your child the man of the house.
Okay, secondly, because.
Right. Secondly, stop expecting your older children to raise their siblings.
Yes.
Generations of trauma passed down.
Yes.
Don't know one person who had to raise their sibling who isn't battling some kind of depression or mental health concern.
Yes.
That's true. Yep. While you're out here trying to live your best life as a child, you got him just because he's an older sibling raising the other kids. Like, it's not my fault that you got to work. It's not my fault that you're a single mom. It's not my fault that you got to struggle and get your, you know, that's not my fault. You know, and I understand, so I'm going to be a big sibling and help and do what I need to do as a big sibling.
And but when she should have been apologizing to him.
Yeah.
To be quite frank.
When the role switches, and that's probably another root to the issue. You know, the fact that it's not even just the fact that he had stuff and they was jealous. He came home and had to be parent. You know what I'm saying? So it's a lot of stuff that he faced that she just is not even trying to understand. She doesn't even want to get to it. And oh, that reminds me of an episode of Love and Hip Hop, where again, mother and son relationship just down the drain, because you have Scrappy and his mom, Mama D, and it pretty much came out, like, she, you know, her lifestyle, she was a madam or something like that, and she had like a
female pimp or something.
Yeah, and so it was, everything was going on in her house, and she was raising kids. Wow. And she had him as the man of the house, and she had him, you know, I mean, it was a lot that he was exposed to at a young age. Imagine you in your room and somebody else in the other room, you know, having sex, and it's like in and out. This is consistency, like, throughout your home, you know, and for money. So he's understanding the name of the game of pimp life at a young age.
And he's not, and he can't have respect for women after seeing that.
I mean, he has a wife now and they got two kids. I don't know. I don't know. I think that he had to change himself, or maybe work on himself. Maybe he already did have a sense of like respect for women on one hand, but it was a little altered seeing that stuff. But it looks like, you know, he has started to, you know, like he started his journey. Yeah, he started his journey on even understanding, because I think she, on the other hand, you know, raised differently, not experiencing any of that, knows what the issue might be and is helping him through his journey. So, you know, but it's just crazy. Like, again, you had the mom, she just, you know, was finding excuses. Well, I did what I had to do, and of this, that, and the third, and not even acknowledging that he went through stuff himself, and that made him a different person, that he wouldn't have been. He wouldn't have been this way if it wasn't like that.
But see, when I hear them talk, I see why they're not in relationships. Like, I hate to sound effed up, but I see why they're single. Mm-hmm. Because it's like, you can't even empathize with somebody. You want to just make I, and make excuses. But you can't sit here and remove yourself and be like, you know what? This is you. This is your floor, sweetie. You talk.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
know,
I can see why you felt that way. I can definitely understand. They're not even trying to understand. And I think that always, I think that roots all the way back to that real uncomfortable, like, way that our community feels they need to raise children. How they always have to differentiate. I'm the adult. You're the child. Mm-hmm. Like, they always have to create that differentiation to where they are supporting why they don't have to respect you necessarily to a certain degree. And I think that needs to stop. I think that's one generational thing that needs to stop. Because I heard a lot of that crap growing up. And it's just, you know, like between aunts and cousins and all that. And it, I think it really, really, really does a toll. It F's up your view on authority and how you see yourself. I mean, even like, you know, I had to unlearn certain things. We all have had to unlearn. And I feel like that delays us as a community, having to undo certain things that previous generations bestowed upon us delays us. It delays
us
to where other communities, I'm not saying other communities don't have issues, but where they may not have had to deal with those issues, with those differences, you know, within the household. And then just could just go and live life and do their thing. But I think that's a few things we need to change. That'll probably be another special we cover. I know we're running up on time, but there's just some generational traumas. We need to leave that shit alone.
Yeah. And I mean, it's just getting so further into the years, you know, and we keep talking about the way the world is adapting and advancing. We're going to be behind. We're going to be, I mean, like mentally, we're going to be far behind if we don't cut certain generational traumas and cycles. We have to cut them. You know, I will say I could never understand how a mom or a parent, period, could just lack that like care aspect. You know, like this is your child. This is, it came, like this person came from you. Like without you, like this person wouldn't even be here. So it's one of those things where, I don't know, some people, I feel like, you know, it's not even that they're not meant to be parents. They just lack a part that makes you a good parent. So,
And I think they need to do self-work. So instead of her trying to be a therapist for her son, she might need one too. That's another thing. People need to start looking inward. She might need some damn help because she needs to see how she's hurt that boy.
And it's a lot, and that's what it mainly be that. The fact that that person is not even ready to be a parent because they have so much work they got to do on themselves. Yep. Imagine, being a parent is a job.
I'm sure.
And it's you have to be dedicated. So if you have a lot of work that you have to do personally, and then you tackle on, you add on a whole nother commitment that's like, this is years long, like this is permanent. You know what I'm saying? So that is like, come on, you have to be responsible enough to handle that job.
Right.
You're not going to take on a job of being a CEO for a company that you know you can't even do because you have so much that you're pulled in different directions for other things. You're not going to do that. So then keep it the same way when it comes to being a parent. But some people get wrapped up and they get into those, you know, the bad habits of, you know, getting indulged in the moment and then and having a kid. So
right.
So
you're not really thinking about the responsibility.
Yeah. Exactly. It's a lot that you got to, you know, people don't take it serious enough, you know, in which, I mean, if they did, probably wouldn't be that many kids on earth. But at the end of the day, that's something that we have to deal with that. You know, if we're going to have kids. All right. Buckle down and get that shit together.
Right.
You know, so. But yeah, definitely great topics today. I hope it wasn't too long for you guys.
Yes. So we are going to go ahead and head out and so we can get that content out to you.
Yes. Bye. See you next time.
All right. Till next time.
Bye.